A gambler walks into a casino carrying $150,000 in his pocket, ready to bet it all on a single hand. Sounds like a fantasy? In Las Vegas, roughly 50 people worldwide do exactly this, and casinos deploy specialized hunters to track them down. These ultra-wealthy gamblers, known as whales, represent the apex predators of the gambling world, and pursuing them requires a unique breed of casino host willing to break every rule in the book. Steve Sire became the most legendary harpooner in this high-stakes hunt, revolutionizing how casinos pursue billion-dollar players through tactics so aggressive they'd make a used car salesman blush. His story reveals a hidden world where luxury becomes currency, addiction fuels empires, and the line between host and enabler blurs beyond recognition. This isn't just about gambling. It's about understanding the primal psychology of risk, the economics of desire, and how far people will go to capture lightning in a bottle. Steve Sire arrived in Las Vegas from Kansas and spotted what casinos missed. High rollers were treated terribly. Players dropping $100,000 waited in check-in lines and made their own reservations. At 22, Sire talked his way into supervising the Desert Inn's VIP services, staffing the lounge with attractive marketing secretaries who provided airport limos, personal greetings, and seamless coordination. Moving to Caesar's Palace as a slot host, Sire recognized slots generated massive profits, while management dismissed players as slot sluts. He offered premium suites to modest players, then proposed becoming a cash host, working both slots and tables, targeting medium rollers everyone ignored. When mentor Guy Hudson brought him to the Hilton in March 1990, Sire flew to Phoenix on his own dime to recruit Al Franco, who lost $164,000 at blackjack. This aggressive approach earned him a promotion to Director of Casino Support Services within his first week. Sire systematically demolished casino taboos. Mining the Hilton's neglected database, he identified 375 Southern California players who'd lost at least $10,000 but hadn't returned, then cold-called them. His telemarketing background proved invaluable as he bulldozed through secretaries with fabricated meetings. He broke sacred rules, calling players at home, pursuing widows of deceased gamblers, working Sundays when competitors rested. Suite allocation received similar treatment. While traditional hosts followed rigid criteria, leaving luxury rooms empty, Sire understood dynamic value. It's 9 p.m. and you haven't rented it? The value is zero. By Thursday afternoons, he'd offer Renaissance suites for just $50,000 in action. His intelligence network was equally unorthodox, paying bellmen, limo drivers, and competitors' employees up to $10,000 monthly for player information. Sire leveraged internal politics ruthlessly. After discovering he generated $1.4 million in profit while earning just $36,000, compared to veteran hosts making $125,000 with only $220,000 in profit, he threatened to quit and secured a raise. In suite meetings, he deliberately undersold and over-delivered, ensuring he'd always be the hero. Elite hosts built specialized teams to expand their reach. Sire's crew included Dan London, who dumpster dove at Caesars World's San Francisco office to find 1,300 Northern California gamblers. Doug Bean leveraged Japanese language skills to access a Malaysian high roller who eventually lost nearly $1 million. Their telemarketing became legendary. They developed the roundtable game to critique calls and the save my job technique, pretending their employment depended on the player visiting. When players called wanting perks, Sire created artificial scarcity, making them think he was working hard to secure fight tickets already on his desk. The team understood luxury economics. Casino-owned aircraft provided competitive advantage. The Hilton's Hawker could be dispatched quickly, while net jets might take 24 hours. Through these techniques, Sire transformed casino marketing from passive waiting into aggressive pursuit. Casino hosts walk a moral tightrope where friendship and exploitation blur. Sear partied with clients while silently hoping, lose baby lose, since his career depended on their losses. Entrepreneur Gus Johnson exemplified this dynamic. After his girlfriend left, he ignored Sear's bathroom warning and raised his limits from $500 to $10,000 minimums. Within one weekend, he lost his entire seven-figure bankroll, then chased losses until he was down $6 million in 3 months. Al Franco's story proved even more tragic. Sear convinced Franco to visit the day before starting at the Hilton. He immediately lost $164,000. For 2 years, Sear flew to Phoenix every Monday to fetch Franco, who gambled secretly, hiding his addiction from family and business partners. Franco lost $7 million across several casinos. One Monday, Franco miraculously won $1.5 million and wisely gave Sear a $400,000 check with instructions never to return it. But when his luck turned, Franco cornered Sear in a bathroom stall, demanding it back. Despite knowing Franco was on tilt, Sear returned it. By sunrise, Franco had lost everything, plus another $500,000 in markers. Within 6 months, he declared bankruptcy. Only in the late 90s did Nevada mandate that casinos post gambling addiction hotlines. Professional gamblers dismiss treatment programs, believing discipline alone separates them from pathological players. Billy Walters exemplifies this rare transition. Growing up poor in Kentucky, he gambled compulsively from age 5. His epiphany came when he noticed casinos treated winners differently, prompting him to vow never to play without a mathematical edge. He became a founding member of the Computer Group, pioneering statistical sports betting, and built a real estate empire worth hundreds of millions. Only a few hundred professional gamblers worldwide make their living exclusively from gambling. The profession demands advanced mathematical ability, sophisticated bankroll management, iron discipline, and psychological fortitude to handle six-figure swings. For every Billy Walters who succeeds, thousands remain trapped, unable to develop the necessary sophistication and emotional control. Global whale migration shifts with economic tides. Mexican elites became the first international whales in the 1970s until the peso collapse. Las Vegas then targeted Middle Eastern oil money, followed by Japanese players in the 1980s. Today, though only 3% of Las Vegas visitors come from Asia, they account for $400 to $600 million in annual baccarat play. Chinese high rollers face extraordinary challenges, making money in China's repressive environment, qualifying for U.S. visas, circumventing currency export limits, and risking execution for corruption if caught gambling large sums abroad. Despite these obstacles, they continue flooding Vegas, particularly during Chinese New Year. After nearly a decade at the Las Vegas Hilton, Sear was terminated in 1999, a forced career shift that proved fortunate. Going independent, he worked as a player representative for casinos like Barona and Atlantis, discovering greater freedom and earning potential. At Atlantis, he was introduced to theoretical loss commissions, allowing him to genuinely root for his players to win, since his pay was based on total action rather than outcomes. The casino industry transformed dramatically during Sear's career. Revenue streams shifted from 80% casino-generated to today's equal split between nightlife/restaurants, hotel/conventions, and gaming. The demographic changed radically. Sear now hosts more $100,000 players under 35 than over, with tech entrepreneurs replacing the older generation. Now 50, Sear represents 6 Las Vegas casinos while reinventing himself as a casino marketing consultant. He travels nationwide, particularly to Native American properties, charging high 4 to low 5 figures for consulting sessions. He lectures at Cornell and NYU's Stern School of Business, taking pride in shocking high-achieving students with his 2.3 GPA from UNLV and substantial earnings. Why do people gamble? Beyond casino marketing's pitch of casual recreation lies something more primal, risk-taking, an evolutionary trait embedded in human DNA. Modern gambling represents a residual hunting instinct repressed by urban society, with mega-rollers being apex predators. Steve Sears' legacy as the ultimate harpooner remains intact, a testament to how hustle, innovation, and determination can transform an entire industry.